Greetings, this is Nigeria Anderson, and you're listening to UrbanBuzzMag.com, and I have Miasha Coleman on the line with me, and she's releasing her sequel to Secret Society. And Miasha, tell us about that journey. Like, how did you begin writing Secret Society?
So I started writing Secret Society initially as a book back in 2003. I started right after I graduated college. Okay. And I've always wanted to write since I was a little girl, but I thought that I would go to college and get a career, and then later on after I retired, I would write like my memoir, and that would be the way that I become an author. It just was a coincidence, or I would say it was just God's plan to have an author speak at my college graduation. And hearing her story, it really inspired me at that moment to bypass trying to find a job, but to go up, you know, go ahead and pursue my real passion. And so I wrote my first book, Secret Society, right after I graduated. It got published by Simon & Schuster, and the rest is, as they say, was history.
What was that like, getting that deal with Simon & Schuster?
It was life-changing. I was a young, first-time mother. Like I said, I had just graduated college. And so when you just graduating college, you're thinking about the rest of your life.
Right.
What is your career going to be? How are you going to support yourself and your family? And so to get a six-figure deal as a first-time author, which is pretty much unheard of from the top publishing house in the country, it was like a dream come true. You know, I cried, I screamed, I hollered. So it was definitely a memory I will never forget.
Wow. Wow. Now, how did you develop the secret in Secret Society?
It literally just kind of popped in my head. I was writing in the first page. I wrote, some really dire consequences that was happening to these two young girls.
Uh-huh.
And I asked myself, what would make a man take these measures on women? And then that popped into my head. Like, if he found out that, they were,
Right.
And so I said, this is a story that needs to be told. I've never read anything like that, especially in the Black community. Subject matters like that were taboo. They were swept under the rug.
Right.
No one ever really talked about them. A lot of people that I knew and grew up around didn't even know people of the trans community. So I felt like this would be an eye-opener for people. And then when I actually got to know a trans woman who gave me a lot of information for the book, I started to realize how much they go through just to live regular, normal life. Mm-hmm. And I felt a sense of compassion and a change of heart, because I had never really considered anyone in the trans community before, because I had never been around anyone. I never known anyone. I never had a conversation with anyone from that community. So I knew if it could change my heart and make me have compassion for the community, I knew it could do that for so many more people. And it did. And so bringing the book to life as a movie and seeing all these years later that it still has the same impact, it's a blessing. And I feel like it's definitely bridging the gap between a lot of, communities that would never usually converse or understand each other or respect each other.
And you said that very well. When I watched it, I was like, I've never seen a story told so well. I think you did an excellent job in representation. So I just wanted to mention that.
Thank you. Now,
how did you get the film deal? How did you get the deal with Amazon?
Okay, so I didn't get a film deal. This is all independent. Mind you, I have been trying to make my books into films for years.
Okay.
And that's what I really want to share with people, because I know sometimes it looks like things happen overnight. And I want people to understand, be patient, trust God's time, because I have been trying to get Secret Society made into a movie since like 2015.
Oh, okay.
And a lot of the, in that time, I was trying to get a deal. I was trying to get financing. I didn't think about doing it myself. And so a lot of times when I was meeting with people, they would talk about optioning the book. That kind of scared me, because that meant I wouldn't have any creative control. So if they created a hot mess, it still would say based on the novel about me. I sit in power and be looking crazy.
Right.
So that scared me. And then and then when I, you know, approach people to just kind of guide me and let me have creative control, they would tell me, you know, your script is too ambitious. It would take millions of dollars to make this movie. You got to scale it back. So I got discouraged and just put it on the back burner.
Mm.
But in 2019, I saw an Instagram post by Jamal Hill, who's a director based, well, he's not based, but he's from Philadelphia. And he said he wanted to make four movies the following year. So I just like shot my shot and I commented, we should do one together. And he actually wrote back and said, what do you have in mind? And I sent him Secret Society, the book and the script. And he instantly was like, I want to be a part of this. I've never seen anything like this. And I have to be the first director to bring something like this to market.
Wow.
So having a director, exactly, having someone like him of his caliber, who had done movies before that were in theaters, that were on streaming platforms, I felt like he would be the perfect person to guide me through this whole process, being as though I had no clue what I was doing.
Mm.
So my husband and I, we put up our own money, and we hired a crew and everything out here in Miami, and we got to work. We shot Secret Society 1 and during the pandemic in 15 days. And once it was done, we were in love with the project. The movie came out beautifully. And we were looking for a deal. We figured we would get, you know, like $1 million deal.
Right.
But unbeknownst to us, you know, it doesn't work like that. You know, people have to prove themselves. And a lot of the distribution companies, networks, and they give you low numbers at first because you're a first timer. They don't know what the audience response is going to be.
Right.
So they give you these numbers, and we're thinking, like, we can do this kind of money on our own with the type of marketing that we're going to do. And the story, we felt like once people actually watched it, the word of mouth would go crazy.
Mm.
So we really, like, took a chance on ourselves, and we said, we turned down every deal, and we said, we're going to go the independent route. We're going to put it up on Amazon, which I am thankful that a platform as big as Amazon allows independent artists like myself to put projects up on their platform without having to go through the red tape of a distribution deal.
Wow.
So that's the way we did it with part one, and that's the way we're doing it again with part two, which comes out July 29th.
Man, what's it like? I love that story. Like, what's it like to bet on yourself? Was you nervous? Like, you know, how did you just turn down deals and be like, forget this. This is my baby. I'm just going to do it.
Nervous, definitely. I have to remind myself that if you're not feeling uncomfortable in a situation, then chances are you're not growing. You're not doing it big enough. You're not thinking or dreaming big enough. So when those moments would come where I would feel that nervousness, felt those moments of fear or doubt or nervousness, I would just have to remind myself, like, fortune favors the bold. You have to be courageous in your pursuit, especially if you believe enough in your idea or your project. And we definitely believe in it. And then I do solid numbers. Like, I pride myself on being a creative person,
mm-hmm.
but I also have a very strong business mind.
Okay.
And I know sometimes you don't get both of those in one person.
Right.
So I also can detach from the creative and the personal feelings of the project and just go straight to the numbers. And as I was doing the numbers, I'm like, okay, if they give us this amount of money minus commissions, this is what we have. If we rent or if this amount of people rent or buy the movie off Amazon, this is what we have.
Right.
And when you compare the numbers in the amount of time that we're talking about, like, these licensing deals might be 2 or 3 years.
Right.
So they got your project held in a chokehold for 2 to 3 years, and this is all the money you're going to get in those 2 to 3 years. Or you take it over here where you own it 100% and it's not tied up with anybody, and you're making this money that they're talking about giving you over 2 to 3 years, you're making it in 6 months.
Wow.
So I'm like, it's a no-brainer.
Right.
It's a no-brainer. So that's when it became like, okay, thank you, but no thank you. We're going to do it ourselves.
Now, you did the casting yourself as well?
Yeah, for the most part. So like the main roles, myself and my director, we casted different people for those roles. And then for like background and extras, we used a casting agency for part one. For part two, it was very similar because we had already established a fan base. We had a lot of people reaching out to us to audition for roles for part two.
Right.
So it was a little bit of us going out and finding people, but a lot of people kind of came to us.
Nice. Who did the fashion? Them girls was dressed. Okay, I was like, who is doing the fashion?
So in part one, it was all on me because I was, you know, it was about budgeting. I had to make sure I spent every dollar wisely. So I would have loved to hire someone.
Right.
But I'd rather take that money and use it for the actual wardrobe, for the actual accessories, so that these looks could be on point.
Yes.
So on part one, I was the sole costume designer. On part two, though, the people saw these fashions in part one. That was a big thing. So part two, they're going to be looking for these girls to be slay everything.
Yeah.
So I hired Shaq Palmer, who is a stylist. He's based in Miami, the celebrity stylist. I hired him, and him and I pretty much tag team styling the girls. And I couldn't be more happier with the way that these girls killed it in part two. And I think the fans are going to go crazy when they see what they got on.
Yeah. I mean, I was like, my goodness. So, you did one, you did two. Is there going to be a three?
You know what? I'm taking the same approach I took with part two, because after one, I didn't expect to shoot part two.
Uh-huh.
I was a little intimidated by following up part one, but I said, I'm going to let the fans speak. If they demand a part two, I'll do a part two. So I'm going to say the same thing. If the fans demand a part three, then I'm just going to have to put my big girl panties on and make a part three happen.
Now, you have tons of books. So is there any other books you're thinking about turning into films as well?
Yeah, definitely. For sure, I want to turn my book Swing into a movie. And my book Chaser, I want to be either a movie or a television series.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, how excited are you about the sequel of Secret Society?
I'm so excited. At first, as we were shooting it and editing it and doing all the post-production work, it was all nerves. It was like slight excitement, but all nerves, because again, like part one did so well and people loved it so much. You feel like you can't disappoint them with part two.
Right.
And a lot of times people do that. They don't be as great as part one. So people be like, oh, it's okay.
Right.
And I just felt like, oh, God, I don't want that to happen to me. So it was all nerves until once the project was done and we sent the screener to certain people and their responses, it gave me that assurance. Like, okay, they're going to love it. Okay. So now that I know people are going to love it, now it's excitement. I'm like super thrilled. I can't wait for July 29th.
Right.
And I can't wait to just hear what everybody has to say about it.
Man, it really is a great project. And I mean, when I saw one, I was like, wow, you really went in depth. Now, did you say it took you 15 days to shoot this film, to shoot the first film?
Yes.
15 whole days
for both movies.
Wow. Yeah. That is quick, fast, and in a hurry.
I know. I didn't know that movies could get shot like that. It was just when I, you know, hired my team, and I was so grateful to get a very, very dynamic team who knew what to do and how to do it. And they say, you know, we can shoot this in 15 days. And for me as an executive producer, I'm like, okay, great, because the less amount of days, the less amount of money.
Facts.
So if we can get this done in 15 days, let's get it done in 15 days. And we did, because everybody wore different hats. Nobody had egos on set.
Good.
It was like whatever job needed to be done, we're going to get it done as a collective.
Well, I mean, I heard Tyler Perry, it takes him 30 days to shoot, so you beat his record.
That's a compliment.
Yeah.
I know Tyler is a machine, yeah. And I aspire to be, you know, of his stature.
Yeah. And I thought that was quick. I was like, it take him 30 days? And then that's why I was like, wait a minute, you said 15? You done beat his record.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I'm excited about the project. I think it's an excellent project, and I thank you for stopping through and sharing your journey with us. And as we say, once a key player, always a key player, so you can definitely come through and let us be one of your media outlets when you're releasing your films. Let people know how they can reach out to you.
Definitely, and thank you so much for that. Thank you for having me. I always enjoy sharing my story. I hope it inspires people. I hope it motivates people. And for anyone looking to follow me, I'm on Instagram, Miasha Official, M-I-A-S-H-A Official, or Secret Society Movie.
And it's coming out July 29th.
Part 2?
Yeah.
July 29th on Amazon Prime, worldwide on Vimeo On Demand.
Excellent. Well, Miasha, thank you so much again for sharing your journey with us. And we look forward to seeing Secret Society 2, the sequel, Never Enough.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You are more than welcome.